Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Every once in a while we see videos of some legislative group somewhere getting into fistfights over making some sort of a law. It seems that we humans believe so firmly in our position that we are willing to risk life and limb to make sure that we get our way. If you look back in the history of the church, this has been true of the church as well. As I said earlier, today is Trinity Sunday. And today we hear about the doctrine of that Trinity, and we try to grasp what it truly means and understand it, and we have difficulty with that. The word Trinity is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible, but all three entities of the Trinity are mentioned together in several different places. If I said to you Matthew 28, I hope that you would remember that that is the Great Commission. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And at Jesus' baptism, all three persons were present. Jesus was there as being baptized. The Holy Spirit came down on him like a flame, and God spoke, "This is my beloved Son." So if I said to you, "Give me a brief explanation of what the Trinity is," you would probably have some difficulty with that. If you think about it, we confess what the Trinity is all about every Sunday. We just did that a little bit ago in the form of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. The story of how that doctrine got to be that doctrine is a long and interesting one, and I'd like to summarize it for you because I think it is important that we know where it came from. Because our doctrine of the Trinity is really what we believe. And we confess it every Sunday, and I fear sometimes that we say the words, but we're not really thinking about what it is that we're saying. For the first 250 years or so of the existence of the Christian church, the congregations were pretty busy growing and defending themselves from persecutions by the Romans. There was some discussion of what the Trinity might be and what it might mean, but there was really not a great deal of that until about 300 AD. That's one of those dates that is important to us as Christians, because it was then that Constantine became the Emperor of Rome. Prior emperors of Rome had persecuted the Christians and put them down, and now we have a man as the emperor who is accepting, at least, of Christianity, if not supporting of it. There's some question about, was he really a Christian and was he really baptized? The important thing is that he allowed Christianity the freedom to grow. The problem got to be very quickly after he took over of people saying, "Well, this is what the Trinity means." No, this is what the Trinity means. And you will find out that as you read, people actually rioted in the streets about what it meant, what the Trinity meant. The question kind of became, when was Jesus? Was he created by God, or was he from eternity? And so how do you explain that? Because of that rioting, Constantine had to do something. And so, like all good leaders, he called for a committee. He called what you might call the mother of all church meetings. So bishops from around the Mediterranean Sea came to a place called Nicaea, which is in current Turkey, and they began to discuss and try to answer the question of what is the Trinity? What is that we believe about that Trinity of God? Was there a time when Jesus wasn't? And there was a fairly large group of people who said that. They said that God created Jesus. There were others who said, no, Jesus was part of the Trinity from the beginning. And so the meeting was held, and people ended up with black eyes and bloody noses, and I suppose some even had broken bones. A colleague of mine one time said, anyone who thinks there's going to be a peace on earth has never been on a church council. Shortly after this meeting began, people realized that this question about when Jesus came into being was pretty much resolved. They said, no, Jesus was from the beginning with God. And so they agreed on that. But then the question was, what do we do? What is our belief? What is our creed? And so somebody came up with a creed that probably came from Palestine. It doesn't really matter where. But they inserted into that creed these words under the section of I believe in Jesus Christ, true God of true God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father. And then they said, okay, that's the way it is. We are done. Everything is copacetic. We've addressed the problem. Well, they forgot about the Holy Spirit. What do we do with this Holy Spirit guy? And so now we have the same argument all over again. Everybody agreed that God and Jesus were from the beginning. Did they create the Holy Spirit, or was he from the beginning with them? It took them another 55 years and another emperor of Rome to say, well, we're going to have another congregational meeting. And then they finally decided, okay, we have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and they are all one. And that gave us the Nicene Creed as we know it today. This whole process took time. You've all heard of the Athanasian Creed. That creed was written another 200 or 300 years after the Nicene Creed was written. And I think last year we read through that whole thing. It's a long, long creed. And it's, as you read it, you can see the attempt to explain this thing that is unimaginable and unexplainable, this Trinity that we talk about. If you look at the creeds, the Apostles' Creed was about 105 words. The Nicene Creed has about 150 words or so. The Athanasian Creed, which was the creed to answer all creeds, has over 650 words. And it still doesn't really give us the explanation in a way that we can understand it from a human perspective. And so, as we said last Sunday, we live by faith and not by sight. And I can see some of you sitting there saying, well, who really cares? It doesn't really matter anyway. You know, as long as I'm going to get to heaven, that's what's important. Well, let me pose a few questions before you say that. You see, it all comes down to this. Who was it that died on that cross on Good Friday? Well, you say, it was, of course, Jesus who died on that cross. Yes, that's true. But if Jesus was a creation of God, then he was less than God, and was his death sufficient to forgive our sins? But if he was God, what is the relationship he has with this Father to whom he prayed from that cross? You see, if we get that answer wrong, or if we muddy it up, then our salvation is really in question. So let me summarize this point. If Jesus were not truly God, even if he were created from nothing by God, then he would be less than God. And if he's less than God, then his death was not sufficient to save us from our sins. If our sins are not forgiven, then we are preaching an empty gospel. That's why the doctrine of the Trinity is so important. Today we have a congregational meeting. It is my sincere hope that it doesn't take us as long to consider our future as it took the folks back in Constantine's time to develop our creeds. And it is even more importantly my hope that people who attend the meeting do not go home with black eyes and bloody noses. Today I remind you that we have a Trinity that offers us hope in terms of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Our greatest hope is that hope of eternal life. For we are not here, we are not members of this world, but we are merely journeying through this world. And we also have a God who loves us, a God who cares for us, a God who provides for us here on earth. Will we last forever as a church? No church ever does. While we certainly have some human limitations, we have that hope that God will guide us and direct us while we are here on this earth. It's interesting that the Old Testament lesson today comes from the book of Proverbs. At its very beginning, the writer wrote the statement of the theme of what Proverbs is all about. Proverbs are to know wisdom and instruction, to understand the words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, in justice, and equality. Proverbs give us the prejudice to be simple, the knowledge and discretion of youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. And then I think the most important statement. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Only fools despise wisdom and instruction. The prophet Jeremiah speaks these words of the Lord. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Today we seek the wisdom and understanding from our God. Today we seek the promises for the plans that He has for us. Today we seek that God who is eternal. Today we seek that God who gives us hope. Hope for tomorrow, hope for next month, hope for next year, and hope for eternity. May we seek God's wisdom. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.